Hello, everybody, and welcome to another comedy interview for my blog, A Rich Comic Life. My name is Richard Gill, and to date, I've seen over 750 comedians and counting, and my blog describes all the experiences of watching them over the last 45 years. My guest today is an actor, a writer, and above all, a stand-up comedian. It's the fantastic Mr. Lenny Sherman. Hello, mate. How are you? You all right?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's great to see you. How's it all going? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. Yeah, getting on with things, you know.
You've got to, haven't you? Yeah. Well, it's great to see you. And as I say, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to talk to you tonight about your comedy career. And we're going to go way, way back to when you first started.
Wow.
And I'd like you to tell me what inspired you to be a stand-up comedian.
I started doing stand-up. This is my 11th year.
Wow.
11th year doing stand-up.
Wow.
And how I got into it, I was actually, me and my mates were messing about on like a football chat room, like a football supporters chat room.
Yeah.
We used to like have a laugh on there and take the piss out of people and all that. And there's a Millwall one, which was quite a big draw. And there was a guy who said he was a comedy writer, because everyone had like a lot of aliases they used on there. And
right.
So he said, he messaged me, he said, you're good at comedy, you should get into comedy. So I said, I want to know what to do. So he said, get a camera on your phone, because this is 10 years ago, the camera phones weren't really like what they
no.
film you and your mates messing about. And so I've done that, and then I've got comedy writing books and reading up on writing, and I was really enjoying it. And I really enjoyed like writing gags and stuff. And then I've done a course.
Right.
So I just wanted to, it said sketch course.
Right.
And at the time, I just thought I'd learn how to write comedy. Anyway, I went to do it. I waited about 3 weeks for that, and then they cancelled it at the last minute
because
I didn't have
mate.
Enough places on it. So he said, we'll put you on the next one. So I've done that. I waited again, and they've done the same again. I said, just give me my money back, please. And I've been reading books in the meantime. And I said, stand-up comedy course. And he said, you learn how to write, which was my main intention.
Yeah.
At the end, like, 6 weeks course every Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever it was. Then at the end, you do a showcase, you perform.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I won't be performing. I was quite terrified that I had no intention of performing. I thought, I'll just do the course, and then at the end, I won't perform. What are they going to say? They can't say nothing. But I'd done the course, and I was doing really well, and I got into it. And I did perform as a bit of a mental challenge, and I got the bug. And then I kept performing after that. It's brilliant. I loved it. And,
there's something very special about it, isn't there? There really is. You've got to walk out and get an audience straight away.
Mm.
It's magic when it happens. It's absolute magic. It really is.
I've always said, I remember a fella saying this to me before I even got into comedy, and he wasn't a comedian either, just someone like laughing about and having a laugh. He said, there's no better feeling than in the world than making people laugh. I thought, yeah, there's a lot of truth in that,
yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of truth, like when you get, and then, so you're doing that on comedy, and it's a very noble thing as well. A lot of people don't, or they don't take it for granted or whatever, but...
Oh, it's the hardest thing in the world to do. Hardest thing
in
the world.
Bringing joy into people's lives, it's a very noble thing to do.
Yeah, very much so.
A lot of people don't realise that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's nice.
When you did your first gigs, were you doing like 5 minute spots in comedy clubs?
The course I'd done was with a guy called Harry Denford.
Right.
He might even still be doing a course. He's in South London,
right.
Down Kent Road, this was. And our showcase course was at Up the Creek.
Oh, mate.
Up the Creek. No, he's nothing to do with Up the Creek, but that's where the way he's done the showcase night. So we went in, which was a beautiful club. I used to play there as well. I used to love it. It's a lovely club.
It's a really good place.
One of the most famous comedy clubs in the country.
Yeah.
And there's about 100 people on my first
gig.
So it's a real...
That's daunting.
It was, but it would. So that was a big mental challenge for me to do that. Like to because I used to do things like I had getting a cold shower and try and do like little mental challenges to try myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I've done that, and it was like about 100, it's either 100 or 200 people, maybe something. It was a big crowd in there.
Wow.
Anyway. And then I've got the buzz, and that stood me in good stead.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'd done that night, and the owner offered me to come back and do a best of the best newcomers night. He said, I'd done well on my first gig, and he said I was like into it and all that. And so that was really nice of him to do that. And so brilliant. I went and done best of the best. I remember Rob Beckett was on that night. Back then, and there's a few others, I can't remember. But that's an honour, looking back. That was, and so I've done my little 5 minutes there, and then I'm doing open mics.
Right.
5 minutes. And soon after that, I've done the King Gong at the Comedy Store.
Oh, wow. That
which
is...
Which was about... That's a full house. That holds about 200-300 people.
Wow.
Right? Something like that. So I've got experiences of doing them, and I did beat the gong as well. So
good night.
I didn't win the night, but I beat the gong. So I had good early experience of... in them big crowds,
and that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about experience. You need to get as much experience under your belt as you can.
Definitely.
Yeah. I had a friend. I've got loads of comedy friends who started out, and they do these 5 minute slots in comedy free pubs, and but I get invited along. And a friend of mine invited me along for about 10 times, and I got sick of his routine. But with my trademark laugh, I just laughed in all the right places. And he won the competition, so it was really
brilliant.
Good. It's absolutely fascinating listening to you, because I'm fascinated how folk begin their comedy journey, you know.
Yeah, when I started, I set my... I thought I was good at this, right? And when I first started, I did do well. I made a bit of a splash, I set myself up to have a go. This is where a lot of good comedians fall off, because they don't set themselves up. So I'm like, and especially in London. So at the time when I started, once I got into it, I would gig. I would say I would have gigged every night if I could, but when you're starting open mic, like, you're not doing weekends, you're not doing Friday, Saturday. You might do some, and you've got to find the gigs, and you've got to get in there, and then you've got to book them, because they don't just go, unless you've got a bit of a reputation or you're friendly with them, then you might get straight on. But when you're first starting out, you don't really know anyone.
No.
And then you have to get on. So, but I gigged as much as I could. I had a right go at
good
it.
Good lad.
Right,
yeah.
But I loved it though. I people go, you work hard, you do it. But I loved every minute of it. I loved performing.
It's
and even
like,
looking back now, sorry.
Sorry, carry on, please.
So yeah, I've done that, and that was in London. And then I started doing the Mirth Control gigs, which are all around the country.
Yeah.
And I had a car as well, so I made sure I had a car and I didn't have commitment, so I could go and do these gigs. And I was loving it, you know? And so I set myself up, and that was I don't know if you're like newbies watching this or what, but that's what I would say, set yourself up so you can have a go.
Yeah.
You're free. And ran the Mirth Control gigs, going around the country, that was a real good experience, because you can do gigs in London or amongst comedians, and that might be a bit like any jokes without you realising you fall into a trap. You do a little bit London centric or something, and then you go and do that in Liverpool, and you'll be doing your like routine about tube trains. You're going, what's this gig about? What's the tube? You know what I mean? You have to look. So it's good to gig everywhere.
Yeah.
And then that's why Edinburgh is good as well, which is very universal.
We're going to come on to that later, yeah. What is great to hear from you already is your enthusiasm for it. It's like a drug to me. I love watching it, and I go there, and I always say to folk on my blog, I'm not a diarist, I'm not a reporter, I'm not a critique, I'm a member of the audience, and I'm there to have a great time. So I describe it as an enthuse. You know,
I've been to gigs with you, you're brilliant.
Thank you so much. So are you.
You're great, everyone should be like you.
So you've been gigging, you say, for 11 years, right?
It's my 11th year. I started, September 7th, 2010.
Wow. What has been your best gig to date, and what has been your worst gig, and why?
Best gig, nothing really stands out, to be honest, because, right. I mean, at the time, you coming up, you want to do the glamorous gigs, and, you know, the more high profile, you know, but looking back in hindsight, didn't really matter too much. It's like a gig's a gig, and you get that buzz. Oh, that's how I see it anyway. Yeah, you get that buzz.
That's brilliant.
My best gig in terms of that I'm sort of most proud of, I suppose. I opened for Jerry Sadowich at Leicester Square Theatre.
Wow, that is some
guy.
That was
a big deal to me at the time, yeah. That's, wow. So in terms of sort of glamour or whatever, that would be
brilliant.
Probably biggest. Yeah, because I've been and seen him live, and I really liked him. Really,
he is brilliant. Really, he's so sharp and so clever.
Yeah. And he's quite a fussy guy who he gets on, so I was quite flattered that I was asked to do it.
That's brilliant.
But he weren't him who asked for me anyway, but because I found it out when I met him. I met him before the gig, and I said, I got introduced to him. He went, I said, thanks for having me. He went, oh, don't thank me. I didn't choose you.
Charming.
I mentally, that was quite a, because what it was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
I think it was a Friday or Saturday. Leicester Square Theatre. They'd only come to see him. They don't, when you go to these, they don't really give a shit about the opener, right? And I got offered to do that twice before, and I couldn't do it. The first time, I was at a Bill Burr show.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah.
To be honest with you, and I got a phone call. I was sitting in the pub, just about to go in there. To be honest, I could have just gone, oh, sorry, Dad, I'm going to go and do the jet. I could have done that, but I'll be honest, I did bottle it a little bit. And so, but I did say to him, I said, just come to see it. I hope you ain't much. But anyway, I said, I come to see the Bill Burr thing. And he said, all right, never, maybe another time. So I went, all right. And I'd never done Edinburgh at that time.
Yeah.
So I'd never done, although I'd done a lot of club gigs and stuff like that, I've never done, gone on. My point is, gone on cold.
Yeah.
Which you do at Edinburgh. You go into a room, nothing's happening. Hello, everyone. Blah, blah, blah. You get into it, right? That's something that I hadn't learned to do.
Right.
So the next time I got asked, I was in Edinburgh. I've just gone to Edinburgh. I was doing, and so I couldn't do it again. I would love to do it. I said, all right. Anyway, get back from Edinburgh, get asked to do it. So I've been back from Edinburgh a couple of weeks, and I've been doing the cold thing, so I'm ready now and confident. Do you know what I mean? So I've gone on, because you have to go on as an opener. Like I say, they're only there to see Jerry Sadowich, and I didn't have no announcer, so I had to announce myself, and I had to do my homework. I had to go on cold.
Yeah.
And I couldn't say there was an interval, because there was me, then an interval, then him. So I couldn't say there's an interval, because they'd all get up and fucking just come back for him. So I'll come on. Here's a little insight. Any newbies watching, other people might tell you different, but I'll come on and went, so I'm behind the curtain, first of all, going, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for your support act, Lenny Sherman.
That's brilliant.
I've gone, hello, everyone. I'm Lenny Sherman. I'm going to talk to you for a bit before Jerry comes out. I'm going to talk to you for a little bit, have a laugh. And then Jerry comes out, has that sound, and go, hey, then bang, straight into my act. But my act is quite, as you know, it's quite bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And now I tailor it at the beginning, I can get into it as well. I don't really need, and so I'm just bang, I had them. And then I got in, and I had a pretty good gig, actually. I did have a decent gig, considering. But that was a big mental challenge for me.
Yeah.
And it was a proud moment as well.
That's brilliant.
That's my best gig.
That's your best gig. Have you had any difficult ones, any bad ones? Or?
Yeah, loads.
Loads.
Oh, Christ. I mean, like I said, I don't know if you have newbie. That's part of the process. Yeah, of course I have.
You've got to go through it, unfortunately, haven't you? Yeah.
But
it makes you a better comedian.
I remember the first time it happened to me, because like I say, I done up the creek about 200 people, or 100, 200, a lot of people. And then I've done the best of the best newcomers, which was good. I thought I was like fucking Peter Kay.
Yeah.
I went and done an open mic night. I think it was Dirty Dicks at Liverpool.
Yeah, Know it well.
Before Alfie Bunny,
Alfie Noakes. Yeah.
And I think I went there, and also when I first started, when you first start doing a lot of stand-ups, I'll probably tell you this: your mates will come.
Yeah.
When you're first doing it, there's a bit of a buzz, and they'll come. So I had people coming up, so I'm having a drink before, a little bit overconfident, thinking. And I went on, and I didn't really rehearse, I was a bit drunk, and I went on and had a like rough gig, and I was like, so, okay, this is, taught me a little lesson, give me a little kick up the arse, you know, which I needed. That weren't the worst one. My worst scenario, about 9 months in, I've done a competition, which was Jonglers,
his
son, Comic Idol,
right,
which was a big national competition.
Yeah,
and I come runner up.
Mate, that's brilliant.
I lost that to, like, as a boy band won it.
Right,
like, mock boy band musical thing.
Right,
and they signed me up, Jonglers. So, and at the time, you know, I'm
that's amazing. Comedy.
To the untrained eye, if you said to someone like the biggest names in comedy, Jonglers would be one of them, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
It turned out it's run really badly. It's turned out and they've gone bust and all that. But anyway,
it is very sad. Yeah.
They signed me, and they give me like 10 open spots to their gigs. So I was still new, so I was learning. Like, no, middle spots, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I've done them, and I'm doing them, and I was doing really well. And then I was coming near the end. I can't remember the effects. It might have been 10. It was around about. They give me a batch of spots anyway. And then I done a gig in central London somewhere. Don't matter. It was anyway, the sports bar somewhere in central London.
Anyway,
I've done that, and I died on my arse.
Right.
Died on my arse. I just, because when I first started, I had a good set. I had a good set, but I was one-dimensional. Most of the time it would work, but if it didn't, I didn't have nothing else to fall back on.
Right.
Now, with experience, if something ain't working, I can try something else. So I've learned a few tricks up myself. I might do crowd work or do a different routine. But then I had that material and that was that. And most of the time it worked well when it was good material, but there would be occasions when it didn't. And as an inexperienced comedian, at the time, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So it was quite very frustrating. And I was really trying my hard. I put a lot into my comedy. I've rehearsed, I've doing everything I could possibly do. Like I say before, I set myself up. I really worked hard and like passionate. And anyway, so I died on my arse. It happens sometimes, no big deal. And I spoke to him, and he said, "Oh, don't worry, we'll give you another. We'll be down here in a couple of weeks. We'll come and see you. I want to see how it's progressing." So I'm like, great. So I thought, yeah, I'm really going to do well with this, like, positive and all this. Going to do well. Went up there, got on stage, fucking died away. I just could not connect with the audience. I was like, fucking hell. Ask a comedian when they're dying, right?
Yeah.
It's one thing dying, right, and people not laughing. This crowd just started talking to each other as if I weren't even there.
That's horrible.
Humiliating. And I remember it was quite a small stage. It was about the size of a pallet. It might have even been a pallet, actually. About the size of a pallet, a very small stage. I remember I had a bottle of water on the front of the stage. I even knocked the water over, and I can remember going, glug, glug, glug. Person sitting at the front picked it up for me. And I'll never forget. And they was just fucking talking like I wasn't there. It was humiliating, and that was horrible. That was really fucking horrible. I was so frustrated. And I remember before I went on, what's the name of that comedian? Matt something. He's a big TV
Matt
personality.
Richardson, Matt Ford.
Might have been Matt Richardson, yeah. With the dark hair, quite young.
Yeah, he's been on this.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was him MCing, if memory serves me right.
Yeah, he's always comparing.
I remember, about 2 weeks before I died, I'm like, I'm going to do it right this time. And they'd come to watch me as well. They'd come to watch me, say, I'm getting on. I'm going to do it. I'm just about to go on. He was MCing. He went, Oh, guys, I'm looking forward to seeing you. I've heard really good things about you. I'm like, oh, great, yeah, really, give me that boost. I'm like, yeah, okay. it was horrid. My
friend, as I say, it is all experience. It's all experience. Oh, it's all part of it.
I'm just saying, at the time, it was awful, though.
Oh, horrible, I've no doubt. I'm just having a look at your biography. And it says, as well as a comedian, you've also been on TV, you've trained in clowning and improvisation.
Yeah.
You're an actor, and you're a writer, a man of many talents. Describe a few of these experiences. Can you tell me what what the Meisner technique is that you put?
Acting. That's an acting style.
Right. So tell me more about your clowning.
The clowning, I'll be honest with you, right, I've got into stand-up.
Yeah.
Started doing stand-up. I've always liked improv.
Yeah.
And when I started doing stand-up, I got into improv at the Bedford. I think it was Hoop Club, and they started doing little drop-in stuff. It's quite good fun. And funny enough, it was James Gill, your mate.
Yeah.
We were chatting about improv, and he
called my comedy brother.
Yes, he's a good man. We love old James. Right? And he put me on to about, he told me he'd been doing this long form with this David Shaw guy from Second City, America.
Right.
So I went and done that. I done 5 terms of that. I done like all of them. I done all 5 terms. Really loved it. Got right into long form improv.
That's brilliant.
And I've done other courses as well with a long form improv. So I do a lot of improv, like the long form improv. Clowning, only that I've trained in that. I've done a week's training with that.
Right.
Which was, it was fun, but it's just like a bit of a mess about, really. I didn't get too much out of that. I wouldn't go out of my way to, I would do it again, but I wouldn't go out of my way to do it again. Improv, I do that regularly. I'm on an improv team, we perform and stuff.
Right.
So I got into the improv, sort of helped with the stand-up. And then the acting come along, I would get offered parts from people who I've known for stand-up. I remember, do you know what? When I first started stand-up, I was stand-up, because a lot of people use it as a stepping stone to get into acting. I said, I would never do that. I'll be stand-up all the way. It was only the last 3 or 4 years I've got a bit of success with acting. I was on...
What success, mate? I've seen you on EastEnders. I've seen you as an alien on Anton Deck's Saturday Night Takeaway.
Anton Deck, yeah.
Yeah.
I was on that.
You've been there.
My first break was on a show called... I'm not sure, I've done the BBC 3 Quickies. They had a few of them a couple of years, which was... I was in 4 of them. I kept asking to do them. I thought, oh, that's all right. And then I got a part on a show called Ministry of Justice.
Yes, Channel 4,
which was really cool. It was the same guys who done The Revolution Will Be Televised.
Yeah.
Which is Jolly and Rubenstein and Hayden Prowse.
Yes.
And that won a BAFTA. And this was a follow-on to them.
Congratulations.
It was a good show. No, I didn't win a BAFTA. The show before won a BAFTA. So I got asked to do that. It's great, and I played three.
You're on it.
So I thought, oh, I'm getting into something. I'm getting a bit of success. And this was in a short space of time. So I went to see an equity careers advisor, and people were saying things to me as well. And I noticed, you know, he said to me, look, there's not a lot of Cockney, real proper working class Londoners in the game. He goes, well, big as well. He goes, I'm getting EastEnders off you, screaming EastEnders. So yeah, he goes, right, and he set me up. So I set up, he goes, you got to get representation, like an agent. You want to get yourself on spotlight, get your showreel, get your headshot. So I got my headshot, showreel, and then I was trying to get representation, trying to get an agent. And he was showing me how to do it. And then in between that time, I just got my headshots done and my showreel. My showreel was quite hard to get done, and there was a bit of a delay, but I just got that done. And then I was at work, I was doing like part-time fundraising for guide dogs.
Yeah.
And a guy stopped and chatted and sponsored a puppy. And then he went, you're Lenny Sherman. I went, yeah. He goes, I thought, Oh, he went, you do stand up? I said, yeah. He goes, we done an open mic years ago. I said, oh, great. I said, what are you up to now? He went, I'm involved in casting at EastEnders. Oh, he's shut up.
Wow.
I said, I'm always getting told that I should be in EastEnders. I
don't know.
He went, send over your headshots and your show reel, which I've just had done. We'll have a look. I said, no, no problem. Thanks. Didn't think nothing of it. And in between, I've got a meeting with my agent, who I'm actually with now.
Yeah.
Which is great. If you get a meeting with an agent and they say you're like 90% ex-agents, don't want even bother with you. But otherwise, unless they want to sign you, really. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, so that's what they say anyway. Anyway, and so he got back to me 2 days later and I went in for a casting for EastEnders. Went to the Elstree, is it?
BBC Elstree, yeah.
Yeah, went up there and Zamo out of Grange Hill was sitting opposite me.
Wow.
He was obviously casting as well and he had a part. They made quite a big deal about it in the papers at the time. But he rang me up after the guy and he explained everything. It was really nice. I said, no, he was great. He goes, anyone of you could have had that role. Blah, blah, blah. So I went, all right, cool. And then, no problem. Thanks for the experience. Real nice guy. Real nice guy. And a few weeks later, I was with my mum and he rang me up and offered me another part, which I took.
Wow.
And I had a meeting with my agent and I walked into the meeting and said, oh, yeah, I've just got a role in EastEnders as well.
How long were you in it for?
So, pardon?
How long were you in EastEnders for?
I was only in one episode.
Oh, just one episode,
but
right.
You could get called back. Yeah, that's one of them shows. But that was great.
Yeah.
I had my own dressing room with my name on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was playing a guy called Alex.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in the soap magazines and stuff. Obviously, I'm looking in there. There's a lot of stuff. There's a big stock. I was on the advert, the EastEnders advert.
The learning curve again, isn't it? It's a learning curve again with your acting.
Yeah, it's a good. So I really, do you know what? I missed a bit out. Earlier on, I was getting acting stuff. So I thought, right, so I started doing the acting training. Meisner technique is an acting training, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a form of acting training. So I've done that. Now, like, I've done all the improv courses. I've always done, tried to. I don't know if this is aimed at, I keep going back to any movies watching, but anything I've done, I'm nothing special, but I'll study stuff and do courses. You ain't just going to fall into your lap. You have to work at things. Do you know what I mean? I've done a lot of improv classes, which I enjoy, and I've learned, that's really helped me with performance, comedy, and normal acting. Acting classes I've done, writing classes I've done, read loads of books, always keep, you know, doing everything you've got to do. Well, I'm just like, so many people sit on their ass.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not great. There's things I'm not good at.
You've got to work at it, haven't you? You've got to work at it.
Yeah. And have the right attitude. And this, like what you said, I believe in doing what you love. That's one most important bit of advice I would give my kid. Do what you love. You know, as long as you're not hurting anyone, obviously, but just do what you love. And so, yeah, but I got into the acting. I kept getting offered roles. And then I got a bit of success. So I started training. Then I've got a good agent behind me now, which I love. They're great. And so I seem to be getting opportunities.
That's brilliant.
In that sense.
That's so good.
I mean, I'm open-minded. It goes where it goes.
Yeah.
Like, no, I want to start not acting, but I love acting. I love it.
Good
lad.
Like I said,
I don't really class myself as... I'm a everything. I'm a comedian, I'm a writer,
yeah.
I'm an actor, even an improviser. I'm not, it goes where it goes. I'm all of them. I think you can be one and the other. You can't just go, oh, it's not like being a football supporter. You can do them all. Doesn't matter.
I'm a Carlisle United fan, mate. Don't ask.
No, I'm a Millwall supporter. Say no more. Believe it.
I first saw you as a do a stand-up routine at Always Be Comedy. You did a 20-minute set, and I thought you were so good that I made a point of seeing your 2019 Edinburgh show, Have Fun. And when I was at the Fringe, my holidays every year is at the Edinburgh Fringe, and I go for a week and I see 50 shows. Plus,
wow.
And I love it. Like you were talking before about the comedians. When I was walking to your venue, you were sitting outside, and I've never seen so much enthusiasm to say, oh, come in. And it, from the moment I saw you outside to the moment I left, you got that audience going with sweets and balloons and all the rest. And I've never forgotten that. It was so enthusiastic that you couldn't fail not to love it. And the actual question from this is, what was your first Edinburgh Fringe like? Because you did a show before, didn't you? You did a show before that year.
I did a show. That Have Fun was the last Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Which was 2019.
Yeah.
The year before was my debut, Make the World a Better Place.
Make the World a Better Place, yeah.
So I made a point, wherever I stick to it, is doing, having positive titles.
Yeah.
So Make the World a Better Place, Have Fun.
Too right, mate, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, you've got to spread a bit of positivity.
Oh, my, tell me about it. Do you suffer from nerves at all before you go on stage, and how do you cope with them if you do?
Yeah, I have done. Well, I wanted to finish your question, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Carry on.
But the first time I've done was a year before that. I shared an hour with a guy called Sheehan Wagnikasera.
Right.
Australian guy.
Right.
And we shared an hour in the, do you know the Cabaret Voltaire?
Yeah.
The little cinema room. It was brilliant. That was my first year, Edinburgh.
Wow.
We shared an hour, never done it before. That was, I've got fond memories of that. When I think of best gigs, I think of that. That was fucking brilliant. The room was, you know, the small cinema room, I don't know if you're tiny.
I know it well, yeah.
And the good thing about Edinburgh as well, especially when you're a bit going a bit, you're a bit slick. I'm like this with Mike. When you're rolling up Edinburgh, a lot of comedians get really good. I remember when I was like doing, or even later, you see comedians at clubs after Edinburgh, they're slick. They're slick. Comedians are like, you know, you get the second half of Edinburgh. All the comedians, everyone's levels go right up. And they're slick and they're totally on it. You know what I mean? It's good to see. Did I have a title? No, I didn't. I just called it Work in Progress, which is a massive error.
Yeah.
Because who's going to come to see that? Especially like I was unknown at the time. but I had a great time. And then, but thank you, by the way. That's what I wanted to say. That was the point. Because Frankenstein's where my last show was.
Frankenstein Pub, yeah.
It was a very hard room for stand-up.
Right.
So it was good. I had some great times. But I had to really work hard. See, it's a bit spacey for stand-up. A lot of the shows in there were like musical or like cabaret stuff. But it was a great venue. The people were lovely. And
I remember front row, I was going bananas. I really was going very loud, and it was terrific.
Thank you. Yeah, I know you do. You always do. It was great. But yeah, I had the poppers and I had a lot of stuff I'd worked on.
Choreography.
I've done a lot of choreography, a bit of choreography to try and whip it up.
Yeah.
And it worked. Experience helped me there. And next time I go, I would like to just, when I do it in Braille again, if I end up doing it again, it's just to have a nice room for once.
Yeah.
And just boom. Who knows? But that was, but thank you though.
Absolute pleasure. I've never forgotten that. It's a highlight for me. It's such an atmosphere as well, isn't it, Edinburgh? It's the festival is the most amazing thing, I think. You know, for comedians who are starting out, established acts, it's incredible for 3.5 weeks. You know, you're spoiled for choice.
I see a lot of comedians that, and I see. Not something to look out for, but if you're a comedian, by right, you should love Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Because it's paradise, it's heaven. I'm an actor as well. I'll go up there, I watched a lot of dramatic stuff this year. I've got Wednesday Theatre, mixed it up, improv, all sorts of different stuff. And great comedy, because like, even I do a lot of sketch writing and improv, and it's just comedy. I'm into comedy.
Brilliant.
I do dramatic acting as well, and that's part of like it's before. But comedy's comedy. They're just little labels, really. Do you know what I mean? So you see so much good stuff up that you don't get the chance to see, and
That's the magic of it. It's
brilliant.
And let's hope it is. Say again, sorry?
Beautiful city. Very beautiful city as well.
It is stunning.
I've got a lot of friends up there. Great people up there as well. Real nice people.
Lovely.
Love it.
Let's hope it's back very soon.
I can't see it this year, can you?
Maybe a mini one, but I doubt it.
All the rich people.
What do you think makes a good comedian? Have you got any thoughts on that?
Wow. I mean, each to their own. Everyone's into different things.
It's very subjective, isn't it, comedy? That's
the thing.
Of
course it is. And I would never tell anyone what to do or what to laugh at, or, you know, everyone's on their own little journey, isn't they? I will say one thing, though. Be funny. A lot of comedians, I know it sounds a really stupid thing to say, but comedians can lose sight of that. They become activists. Do you know what I mean? And that's sort of, not that it bothers me, because I just focus on myself. I don't let other things bother me, but
it's very true.
It's a good question, but it's an hard one to answer.
Don't worry, you're not the first.
No.
I think you're right.
Being funny is important.
I think
I'll tell you a good comedian, a real good. All right, this was interesting. Spencer Jones, I don't mention names too much because other people get jealous or whatever. But Spencer Jones, great comedian.
Oh, he's brilliant,
man, right? He's a friend of mine as well, right? And chatting to him, I said, like, I noticed he watch his show, he's very, very funny, very funny, but he's very lovable as well.
Yeah.
And he
very original and very lovable comedian.
And I remember he said about, like, getting a message in there or something. I can't even do it justice now, but it's a really good point. I can't remember exactly along the words of, because I was like, when I first started, I was learning, like, laughs per minute, get the laughs. When you see me do stands, like, bang, bang, laughs per minute ratio. But now I sort of, like, want to, through other stuff, I do, get a bit more, as I've gone on, get a bit more of a message in there, more than just silly. Well, there's a lot of subtext in that in my stand-up, I suppose, but I will now maybe get a bit of a message, I don't know. But he made a really good point about making people think and stuff like that. I thought, wow, that really opened my eyes. I thought, yeah, that's amazing. That was good.
It's very interesting because, like I said at the start, when you walk onto a stage, you've got like 30 seconds to get an audience, to engage with an audience. Mm. And that can either be through a joke or be very endearing or something that makes them want to listen. And it's the hardest thing to do in the world.
Do you know what? I will say that. I'll say be original. A good comedian, someone original, someone who's bringing something fresh to the table. There's a lot of people, and you see it. See, I sort of like, with this lockdown and that, you'll probably get onto it. I sort of see social media as a stage on some level, like Twitter. It's a stage. It's become a stage now. If you want it to be. And you see a lot of them arguing over this, with this, like, left-wing, right-wing comedy and stuff. But a lot of that stuff is just stuff for me. It's honestly saying that I've not heard before.
Yeah.
I mean, rather than like the easy issue, this is what I think a lot of the issue with these right and left. They're all saying the same thing, a lot of them. And it's not in terms of the art. I can't really give a shit about the politics.
And,
Where's someone bringing something fresh to the table?
You're there to have a good time, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm talking about, I'm getting a bit arty now, but in terms of, like, originality, try and be different rather than, I don't know, a lot of my answers are coming as if I'm talking to someone who's just starting.
It's fine, it's absolutely fine, it's brilliant.
I think artists or comedians can look at the scene and go, oh, what's everyone, oh, I better do that. We really just should be going, right, what can I do different and bring to the table?
Yeah.
Which can be tough, because when it don't work, you think, oh, fucking hell, I'm mental and I'm mad. But I think that's a good thing about social media, because you can feel it out.
Yeah.
I'm quite active on there. I've been quite active lately, and I'll go on. So I'll try stuff out, and if you're not getting no likes or whatever, I'll delete it. You know, I know a lot of comedians.
Exactly.
That's part of the writing process.
Exactly.
No big deal. So you just feeling it out, and then you can feel out society and the feeling, and then you can, when we're on stage again, you can bring that onto stage. You can get a bit of a vibe, and that's what I do. I tend to do.
It's very good Zoom gigs for doing routines to audiences, to massive audiences. I mean, when I go to Always Be Comedy, they have like a virtual front row where they can chat and they can laugh and they can hear. There's about 30 of them, and then there's about 300 watching. So he gets big numbers, but he likes his front row, and it's so well
done. Sounds like he's doing well. Do you know what, Mitch? I haven't done a single Zoom gig.
I was just coming on to that.
I thought you might.
We are all living in strange times. How have you found online gigs as opposed to live gigs?
I don't fancy them, to be honest.
Some comedians don't.
I was going to do one just as a mental challenge, and then I had to back out to do something else, so I couldn't make that. But yeah, I didn't really fancy it at the beginning. I mean, good luck to anyone who wants to. Yeah. But I mean, I haven't been offered a lot either, to be honest. Yeah.
The first one I went to, it was all silence. You couldn't hear my laugh, and of course my laugh is my trademark, so I'm sitting looking at these four walls, laughing at the walls, and nobody can, I'm shaking with laughter at the comedians, and they couldn't hear us.
That's part of the experience.
Yeah.
I bounce off the crowd.
I bounce
off, you know, like a lot of comedians will.
Yeah.
And like timing and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Your crowd work is fantastic, I have to say. You're really, your banter is very, very good with an audience. You're very good at chatting to folk. It works really well.
I actually MC a lot. I've done well at MCing, I think, because I'm big as well.
Yeah.
But I do, that's something I've worked on, the MCing, and I've got a little system I use and it works well.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Good man.
Thank you.
Who are your favourite comedians, past and present? Have you got any?
Right. This is a tricky question. You have to be careful. I love most comedy.
Yeah.
Right? I love most comedy. And I'm a positive person, and I love most comedy. And I will forget, especially comedians who I know I'm working with, I wouldn't like mentioning them, because if I mention everyone that I mention, all the ones I don't mention, they're going to go, what?
These are sort of like one,
I don't know any of these comedians that I'm going to say.
Right.
So I'm going to say, my number one probably is Dave Attell.
I've heard of him, he's good.
Yeah, I love Dave Attell. He's a good, great gag man.
Very
funny man. Just always loved him, always really loved him, very inspirational. Stuart Lee.
Yeah, superb.
Stuart Lee. Some people might look at me and think, oh, really?
No, he's superb. Then
you see my style, actually, I like satirical style. I think he's very clever, Stuart Lee.
He can take a little tiny subject and make it into a routine. He's extraordinary.
Yeah, his techniques.
Yeah.
So I've studied a lot of writing technique, and I find it fascinating, all that, and I see stuff that he does.
I love
Stuart Lee. Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
Love her. Kristen Schaal. I don't think she does stand up anymore. She was, do you know Kristen Schaal?
I've heard of her.
She was, you remember Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah, very much so.
That was her. She used to do stuff. She's brilliant stand up. I love her stand up.
Yeah, loads.
You've got Emo Phillips.
Oh, brilliant.
I like a lot of the gay comedians. I love a good joke.
I saw him at the Fringe, and he was fantastic. I hadn't seen him for a while. He was brilliant.
He's been going years as well.
Well, he hadn't been going for a while, but he came over to Edinburgh for 1 year, and we got tickets, and he was in. He played Pleasance Grand, the big one, and he was fantastic.
Wow.
He was really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
We also got Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Don Rickles.
Yeah, Don Rickles is hilarious.
Mm.
What a funny man.
I love a lot of them. Bang, 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 bang. I do like, but it depends what mood I'm in. Like Stuart Lee, slightly different.
Yeah. Good lad.
Yeah, I love a lot of them, really. I mean,
well, all the books you can see behind me, they're all my comedy books and videos.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I read a hell of a lot of biographies.
Oh, good. What's your favourite one?
Oh, well, my very favourite comedians were Morecambe and Wise. They were the reason why I do the blog. Yes. I saw Les Dawson live. I saw Tommy Cooper live. Saw the two Ronnies. I saw Rick Mayall, Ben Elton, French and Saunders, Steve Coogan.
I used to love Ben Elton when I was younger.
Yeah. So, saw him at college. He was fantastic. So many great. I've been very, very lucky. I've seen Bill Hicks at Manchester. He was amazing. Wow. Steve Martin was good. Just on and on and on.
Of course. Where'd you end? Where'd you stop? I know.
Where'd you stop? There's so many. I've only got one more question for you, and it is, like me, do you go to a lot of comedy gigs as a member of the audience?
Absolutely not. You've got to be joking.
Is there a reason for that?
I go to Soho Theatre a lot and watch shows, stuff like
it's
that.
It's a great place,
Not only there, all other places as well. I like going watching shows like that, the bigger ones. But when I first started, any new comedians.
Go
and watch the professionals. I'm doing it, so I'm watching it there anyway, and then like you get a bit in the end, a bit tired though anyway, and a lot of comedians do. I don't get me wrong, but I enjoy it. Of course I do. I wouldn't go out of my way to go to a club.
No, not a
chance. But I mean, I'm supposed to see Stuart Lee somewhere.
Right.
Might have been Hammersmith. Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't. It might have been the Royal Albert or something. That's been cancelled on my own as well. That one I was going to go. I wanted to see that. I've been Soho Theatre loads of times. Seen.
So have I. I love it.
Do you know one of my favourite ones? I'll give these a mention actually because they're worth a mention. One of the best live shows I've ever seen a live performing for Anna Mann.
Oh, brilliant! Absolutely brilliant.
I've never been. I've come out of there like my gut muscles hurting. I've never had that before. And I've never, when I went to see him at the Soho Theatre, right, I've never heard, I've been to Edinburgh, I don't know Edinburgh. I'm like, I don't know about Anna Mann.
Anna Mann is the creation of Colin Holt.
I'm hoping
to get him on here to talk about how he creates his characters. Because there's so many other ones as well he does as well that are as good.
Yeah, well, he's a comedy actor.
That's a great answer. Such a good, great comedian he had there. One more thing. Is there anything else you would like to say? Is there anything you'd like to plug? Are you writing any shows? Are you writing any books?
I'm always writing. I've got into sketch writing. I've been writing a lot of sketches. Follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Glenn Len Sherman.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and be a bit more active on that. That's been going all right. That's it, really. I'm always like, you know, I've just been doing like self tape the last 2 days for acting. Like you do like video auditions, self tapes. So, I'm always writing. I'll be writing sketches and be active. And what happens, happens. I'm ready to go where it goes, be it comedy, acting, writing, whatever.
Good lad. So, yeah. Well, I'm really hoping to see you very, very soon live on stage again, my friend, because you're a fantastic comedian and I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Good man. All the best to you then. Cheers now.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thank you.